our scripture today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray one more time for your many blessings and the guidance for our study and study on Acts chapter 16 today. We will be ready to listen to you. We want to see how you are working into people's lives and how you're changing the world. So would you please bless us, bless all our hearts, even me as I'm going to present the gospel to your people, so that we will all feel your presence this morning. Lord, we need your mercy this morning through your word. And thank you so much for your revealing yourself from the Bible. So guide us and help us to understand you this morning. We pray your son in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from Acts, book of Acts, chapter 16. I want to read a whole chapter, but it will be really long, so I took half of it. And I'm going to read verse 25 through 14, but probably you'll think that this is still long. This is the word of God. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up to his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrate sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrate have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly and uncondemned, and who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. Although my text was only part of chapter 16 from the book of Acts, today my sermon will be covering pretty much of from chapter 10 and 9 and 7, go back to chapter 7, and we'll be looking at the story of Paul. And then I'm so excited how God is working through this message. There was a young man, a young Jewish man. His name was Saul. We know his name. He had a brilliant mind. He was a well-educated man at the time. He received the best education at his time. He knew Greek, Hebrew, history, and philosophy. Like he had a PhD degree in many areas. And also he had a burning desire and heart for God and his religion, which is Jewish and Mosaic law. Surely he was a rising star too at the time. While many Jewish leaders and people didn't know how to handle what to do with the new religion and religious movement, in the text and say the way, we which is the follower of Jesus Christ, Paul stood up. He was a young man. He stood up. He was ready to get his hands dirty for his faith. In the next 7, we know the story. Stephen was stoned to death. He was the first Christian martyr. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, it starts with Saul approved his execution, his death. There's no indication of stoning Stephen. And there's no Paul, you know, try to stone him. We don't know that. But Paul was in total agreement with his action, with the action. And in Acts 8 describes more that a great persecution started with Stephen's death and Paul's appearance. That's kind of really interesting. One day Paul, Acts 22 and verse 20, said, he confessed, "And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by, approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him." But Acts 9, in chapter 9, describes him like this. Although he killed and he tried to persecute all the Christians, Acts 9, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord." That's just so scary. Still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Simply, he hated Christians. Really, really hated all the Christians. He could not watch people following Jesus Christ. It's not right for him. And he strongly believed that it was his call to persecute the Christians, make things right. That's God's will. So he went to the high priest and then asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus to persecute all the Christians around there. He wanted power and letters. And he got the letter. He got the power. And no one is able to stop him. He was a really scary person at the time. He had a right reason to persecute Christians in his heart. His heart was burning for that, burning for God. No one could stop him. Now, while Paul and his companions were marching to Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. A weird experience. And Saul could not see the light, but he fell on the ground and heard a voice from heaven. It says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul didn't know who was speaking, so he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Paul must have mumbled in his heart and mind, "Jesus Christ? No way. He died." He could not believe that Jesus was talking to him. He wondered what Jesus looked like, so he opened his eyes, but he couldn't see anything but darkness. He lost his sight. He became blind. "What happened to me? What happened to my eyes?" Saul's troubled companions led him to the city and brought him to the city named Damascus. And Saul did not understand at all. He thought, first, Jesus was that person. He died. But he heard him speaking. He must have thought, "I'm doing the right things for God. My God, then why? What's next?" He couldn't see and eat and drink for 3 days. While Saul was wondering about his meeting with Jesus Christ, a man named Ananias visited him to pray for him. When Ananias prayed, a miracle happened to Saul. The Bible describes that, Acts 9 and verse 18, something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. What is the next story? Saul could not forget what he heard. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And although he had only 3 days, I'm sure that those 3 days were big days for Saul. Meeting with Jesus Christ, was it accident or God's plan? Although it was only 3 days and nights, it was enough for him to figure things out, the puzzle. He hated Jesus and his followers more than anyone else in the world. And he was the one who was ready to persecute all the Christians. He was the one who approved the death of Stephen. Now he became a Christian. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. Was it an accident, or God's plan? Now, after becoming a Christian, Paul began traveling to make travels to many cities and to preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ to Gentiles that we already know. And on his second missionary journey, Paul was accompanied by his students, Timothy and Silas. And compared with the first missionary journey, Paul had more organized tactics and schedules and plans for his second missionary journey to Asia. That's our text. Even more, it was better than before because the first journey, because he had two companions. So their plans, Paul's plans were to cover the Asia. That's perfect. Now is a Turkey area. And Acts chapter 16, verse 1-5 says that Paul and his companions successfully finished their visit of the churches, and Paul started on his first missionary journey in Derbe and Lystra. And after his successful visitation, now Paul, he planned to head north to cover Asia. That's his plan. And in our text it says, Acts 16 and verse 6, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. That's a confusing moment. There is no further explanation in this text, but I'm sure that Paul was completely puzzled. He wanted to go to north, but the Holy Spirit stopped him. Was it an accident or God's plan? Anyway, Paul had a different plan. And he and his companion, friends, try to enter another city named Bithynia. They try to enter Bithynia, but once again, our verse in chapter 16, verse 8, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go. It's not happy when he tried to do something for the kingdom of God and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit stopped them twice. Paul must have thought, why? Why is that? I don't understand. His companions were also puzzled. What about our plans? We must go to Asia and cover these cities in Asia. That's what we have to do. Preach the gospel. Paul did not understand God's plan. Yet he did not want to ignore the voice of Jesus Christ. So Paul and his companions had to change their plans. They changed the direction of their journey. They walked toward Troas, which was the opposite side of Bithynia. So they changed their direction and went to the opposite side. Let us think about their situation a little bit here. They had plans, many plans, many, many great plans to preach the gospel. But their plans were completely screwed because the Holy Spirit led them to the opposite direction. Don't go there, but go this way. So when they're going to the place that God is leading, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know why they have to go there. So think about their situation. Was it an accident or God's plan? If that wasn't God's, that was a God's plan, then why? Why didn't God tell them then his whole plan? Hey, you have to go this way. Why? Because you have to blah, blah, blah. You have to meet this person and plant churches right there. You'll be a great church. God didn't say anything like that. Wouldn't it be great if God told them what to do? First night, stay here. Second day here. Third day here. Before they started their missionary journey even. Hey, Paul, this is my missionary journey for you. It planned out and sang everything. But God didn't say that. All the plans were clear and wonderful. Paul had in mind that, okay, I'm going to cover this city. But God changed their plan and God did not tell them what to do. God changed their direction. Sometimes we feel the same thing. We have so many plans, many wonderful plans over the years. Sometimes we say that we have great plans for our church, for the kingdom of God, and how to bring the people here, how to present the gospel to people out there. We spend and put our efforts and even money and time and everything what we have for the plan for the kingdom of God. And sometimes, however, we find ourselves stuck somewhere in the middle of nowhere. It seems there's no direction, no future, and no hope. And we say, what shall we do? Is it in God's plan or is it an accident? Paul's story reminds us of the story of Abraham in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 11. When Abraham did not have a plan for the land, God said, leave your country. When Abraham did not have a child, God said, your descendants will possess the land. Without any plan, without any child, Abraham trusted God and he obeyed God's command. Paul did the same thing. It was not his plan, but God's plan he obeyed. He did not have any plan to visit Troas. He did not have any plan to go there, but he obeyed the Holy Spirit. And finally, he and his companions arrived at Troas. And while Paul was wondering about God's plan, he went to bed and fell asleep. In his dream, Paul had a vision of a man, a Macedonian, standing and begging him to come. And in Acts 16 and verse 9, very interesting story. In his dream, come over to Macedonia and help us. I don't know how to describe Paul's heartbeat at that point. If I were in that dream, I feel like my heart is just bursting, pumping really hard. And in our text, it says in chapter 16, verse 10, when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia. He didn't wait, just immediately acted. We can imagine that Paul's heart, his heartbeat was pounding so hard and loud. Yes, this is what I have to do. And as soon as he woke up and then snapped his fingers and saying, that's right, God wants me to go to Macedonia, not Bithynia. So Paul and his companions get ready to leave for Macedonia. That's Acts 16 and verse 10. Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, from Paul's story, we learn something. There is no accident. But everything is God's plan. There is no accident. God is holding the future of you and me and our lives. Let's move to another story. Now, Paul and his friends were so excited because they knew what to do, because they finally got God's answer and where to go and what to do. Finally, they arrived at the city named Philippi. Now, Philippi was a city in eastern Macedonia named after Philip II and the father of Alexander the Great. Now, historically, this city was considered a politically or commercially very important city in Macedonia. And in our text describes in 12, verse 12, Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. However, there was a minor or major problem for Paul. Whenever Paul entered a city or somewhere, he always started with preaching the gospel for a local synagogue. That's his plan. But however, there was no synagogue in Philippi because there were very few Jewish people in town. So maybe that's weird. He was ready. Yes, Lord, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to share the gospel to these people and when enter the city, and there is no place to go. Was it an accident or God's plan? So Paul changed his plan. Instead of visiting a synagogue, he decided to go to visit a place, just a place where people were gathering together to pray. So on the Sabbath day, Paul went outside the city gate to enter to the river side to go to a place of prayer. That's an interesting story. At the prayer meeting, Paul begins sharing the good news to the group of women. Our text says women. Among these women, there was a woman named Lydia. She came from a different city in Asia Minor, and in which today is our Turkey area. Now, her hometown was known as the heart of the region of the purple-colored garment industry. Now, since Philippi was a Roman colony, now Philippians were eager to copy Rome and its customs. So they loved to wear purple garments. So Philippi had been a best market for purple garments business. And Lydia came to Philippi to sell the purple garments and starting business, a very expensive product. The purple garment and purple collar was considered a royal collar. Now, think about that situation. Although Lydia was born as a pagan, she was a pagan lady, she got to know God, the religion of the Jews, so she became a worshiper of God. That's why she came to the prayer meeting at the time with other people. At the prayer meeting, Lydia met Paul. She never ever imagined that a strange guy came. Women's prayer meetings, a strange guy came sharing something about Jesus Christ, who spoke with great conviction, proving that the Old Testament prophecies had been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And in our text it says, verse 14, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. It was a life-changing moment for Lydia. She responded to Paul's message. She responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And she was baptized. It's a short story. One day happening everything. But it's not the end of the story. Our text describes that her household members, everybody in her house, were also baptized and became Christians. Maybe we think, you think, so what about Lydia's story? We knew the story of Lydia, and we knew the story of Paul up to here. And I want to invite you to read between these lines, historical events between Paul and Lydia. There were many women who came to the prayer meeting. The wider Bible specifically talk about Lydia and her family. Why not other ladies? Now, Paul did not have any idea of visiting this city, Philippi. But the Holy Spirit led him to this position. There was no synagogue, there was no place to go for him, but he found a prayer meeting. Then Paul met a Gentile businesswoman at the prayer meeting at the riverside. Think about that, all the historical events. Accidents or God's plan? Now you will see the name of Lydia, named Lydia in Paul's letters to the Philippian church later, and even hear our text. Lydia was the first converter. She was the first converter who became a Christian in Europe. Isn't that amazing? Unfortunately, I'm not the first Korean people who just became a Christian. I want to be that position. She was that. She took that position. She was the first lady who became a Christian in Europe. An amazing thing is the Philippian church is the first church to be planted in Europe. So thinking about all these things, was it an accident or God's plan? How about another story? While Paul and his friends were staying at Lydia's house, they went to the place of a prayer meeting again. Then Paul met a demon-possessed girl, not happy. She was a slave girl owned by masters, it's plural, I don't know why, but who are making money out of her fortune-telling business through her evil spirit. So when she saw, that's an interesting point, when she saw Paul and the companions of the people, she yelled in Acts 16, verse 17, "These men are servants of the Most High, who proclaim to you the way," here, "the way of salvation." She followed Paul for many days. She bothered him a lot. Paul was very distracted by this girl. And finally, Paul says in our text, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And at that moment, the demon spirit left her. That's an amazing story. And the people were amazed, and they praised God. Wow, this is awesome to watch these amazing things happening here. However, it brought more serious troubles to Paul and Silas. The owner of the slave girl realized that their means of making money, business, was gone. No money. So they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them before the magistrate. And the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and whipped. And after they have been severely whipped, and Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. Wow. Then Paul came to all the way to Philippi to obey God. Now he and his friends be thrown into prison. Was it an accident? God's plan? I don't want someone beating me up if I'm going to say, "Believe in the name of Jesus Christ." I don't want to go to that place. Was it an accident or God's plan? I thought about Silas must have murmured like this, "We came here because the Spirit of Jesus Christ sent us. And now we are in prison. What is God's plan for us?" Do you know what they did in prison? Amazingly, Paul and Silas began praying and singing in prison. That's verse 24. They were severely whipped and their feet were fastened in the stocks, but they began praying and singing. Can you believe that? I don't know what they sang at the night, but it could be a beautiful song on prayer, because the Bible, our text says in verse 25, the other prisoners were listening to them. They didn't say, be quiet and go to sleep. And they didn't say that. They were listening to them. And Paul and Silas, missionaries, did not know and did not understand God's plan at all at that moment. Yet, they raised their voices to praise God and they raised their hands to pray God. God heard their prayers. God received their praises. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake happening in prison, that the foundation of the prison were shaken really hard and the prison doors were wide open. Surely Paul and Silas were shocked. Wow, what's happening? It could be a chance for them to run away. Hey, run for it. Save your life. If I were there with them, I would yell at them, hey, run away. Run from the prison and save your life. Time to go. I don't want to die. Finally, the jailer woke up and found out that the prison doors were widely open. And he thought the prisoners had already escaped. That's a normal thing, right? It means to him a shameful death, because the magistrate surely would execute him. Rather than suffering or disgrace, the jailer decided to take his own life. And he took his sword and he was about to kill himself. And Paul yelled at them, don't harm yourself. We are all here. That's an interesting moment. Paul and Silas did not run away. And do you know what the jailer said to them? I thought about this situation. If I were a jailer, I would say, hey, go back to your room and lock it again. And I would say, phew. But he said in verse 31, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What does it mean? To save his life, the jailer must put Saul and Silas, other prisoners, back to their rooms in the prison. Saving his life was not the matter of Paul's business. Paul doesn't have any power or authority over him. He was a prisoner. Then why did he ask this weird question? William Hendrickson, who was the professor of Old Testament at Calvin's Seminary, suggested a couple of possibilities. The first one is the demon-possessed girl and had been telling the people about that. These men are servants of the Most High God and who proclaim to you the way of salvation. It is well possible that the jailer knew about that, the way. They got something. Second possibility, it is also improbable that the man had been for some time worried about the condition of his soul. That's all people do. And third, he must have noticed that the behavior of Saul and Silas under the terrible lashings which they received and their persecution in the dungeon was entirely different from anything he had ever seen before and heard before. They were acting different. They were praising God. Can you do that? When somebody is persecuting you, put you in prison? We can say that, yeah, I will do that. I will praise the Lord. And I will pray. But actually, it happens to us. We will say, oh, no, God, what am I supposed to do? It's not fair. That's my reaction. Something happened to me. Personally, I will say, it's not fair, God. I'm doing my best. What's happening to me? But Paul and Silas, they prayed and they praised the Lord. Then lastly, William Henderson suggested, after what happened to the slave girl, Did he see a connection between these two prisoners and divinity? Oh, something is happening between God and these men. So he got lots of questions about salvation and life and God in his mind. So even earthquake, he didn't run away. That's why he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It's not about his job. It's not about his position, but he is thinking about real life. Thinking about this jailer, was it an accident to be a jailer at the time? Or God's plan? Now, Paul responded very simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and you and your household. That easy. Then the jailer and his entire household, like Lydia and her household, were baptized and became Christians. Thinking about all this happening, from Paul's plan, he wanted to go to that direction, God led him to this direction, and God brought him to Philippi. There's no place to go, no synagogue. So he went to the riverside, a prayer meeting. He met a lady named Lydia. And then he tried to do something good, but he was prisoned. And then he met a demon-possessed lady, and he was in prison. Now he met a jailer. Meeting with Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus was not an accident. But surely, there was a God's plan. Meeting with Lydia was not an accident, but God's plan. Meeting with a demon-possessed girl, I don't want to see any people like that. But meeting with a demon-possessed girl was not an accident, but it was God's plan. Meeting with a jailer in prison was not an accident. But surely it was a God's plan. With a Gentile lady, Lydia, with a demon-possessed girl, we don't know the name, and with a jailer, the first church in the European history was born. Can you imagine? With really awkward situations. Oh no, I don't want to plant a church like that. But with this all kind of incidents, the first church in the European history was born. The birth of the Philippian church was not an accident, but surely it was a God's plan. Brothers and sisters, sometimes, like Paul and Silas, we don't know what to do. We don't understand God's will for us. Sometimes, like Paul and Silas and his friends, we are suffering physically, emotionally, and financially. So many problems coming after. Are you suffering today? Feeling empty, depressed? There's no way. From our Bible study meeting or Sunday school teachings and even preachings and reading the Bible, we know the answer. We have to pray. Yeah, we'll spend our time to pray. Pray, but God is not answering. So quiet. That's why sometimes we think there is no hope, no vision. Then this is time for us. Listen carefully and watch carefully. What's happening into Paul's life? How God is saying and speaking to Paul's life. There is no accident. But everything is God's plan. Everything is in God's control. Everything. Even in our sufferings. Even we feel that God is destroying our plans and everything. Even that situation. Even agonies. Pains that we cannot explain about our pains. God still holds you and me in his arms and in His covenant. That's why Paul says sometimes in Romans 8, "For I am sure that neither death or life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." While I was reading the text and studying this text, I strongly believe that the same rule, the same thing is true for our church, New Hope Christian Reformed Church. The birth of New Hope Christian Reformed Church was not an accident. But it was God's plan. We are all sitting here today. No accident. God's plan. Listen to what Paul said. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you and your household." 16 and verse 31. Paul met Christ on the way to Damascus. It was not an accident, but God's plan. Today we are here to worship God, listening to God's reassurance of His covenant in Christ. We have come to know Christ. That was not an accident, but it's God's plan. Although we don't know our future, although we don't know what will happen to us, we're not sure. We want to go this direction and that direction. God is blocking all the ways and putting us down here. Do you think that's an accident? No. That is God's plan. As Paul said, that's why we have hope. As we just read in Romans 5, that's why we have true hope in Christ. I'm pretty sure as soon as you open the door, back door, and going back to your real life, you will see another problems and problems after problems and feel like there is no way to get out of that situation. Don't worry. God will not abandon you. And everything in this world, God is holding you and me. There's no accident in God's world, but everything is God's plan. So trust in Jesus Christ and learn from something from Paul's story. The first Christian, Lydia, the first church in Europe with these weird guys and people, a demon possessed, a jailer, businesswoman. I believe that our church can do the same thing. We are all different, but we will build the kingdom of God here in Spokane, this area, because we are in God's control. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing yourself from this story, from Paul's life. We want to see ourselves. We want to find our lives here because we don't understand. We are very confused many times. But we see one thing. You are holding our lives. You are the one who is directing us and leading us in Christ. So help us continue to trust in you, continue to trust in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing from the gray hymnal 452.